The Truth About College Admission podcast, as well as our book and workbook, are brought to you by Johns Hopkins Press. Visit press.jhu.edu to learn more about their wide selection of books and journals from the world's most trusted authors, experts, and sources. I am one of your hosts, Brennan Barnard. I'm the Director of College Counseling and External Affairs for Cons Schools Network and the College Admission Program Advisor for the Making Caring Common Project.
And I am Rick Clark. I'm the Executive Director for Strategic Student Access at Georgia Tech. Today's episode, I'm excited for folks to get the chance to listen to. We talked with Dr. Beth Cabrera. Dr. Cabrera is an organizational psychologist by training, and her focus is specifically on positivity and well-being. Her book, Beyond Happy, Women, Work, and Well-Being, is definitely one to check out. And, you know, I think what I appreciate about her approach, and I've had her speak with our staff and heard her speak a number of times as well, is, you know, she's somebody who takes big academic research and distills it down into actionable, distillable, understandable, and applicable means. And I think what I really value about that is, I mean, she's been all over the world teaching. She left Georgia Tech with her PhD and went to Madrid. Unbelievable, really, to think about, you know, learning and teaching in Spanish and being tenured there. And then has also been at Arizona State, George Mason, and now she's here at Georgia Tech. Her husband, Dr. Angel Cabrera, is our president here. And she really is. I mean, there's so many great folks at Georgia Tech, but she really is one of the best because she helps, I think, our work environment to be positive. She has a huge influence on our institute. And, you know, one of the things that I also think you'll hear today is how she's taking a lot of what she's done with leaders and businesses and talking about how you can do that within your own family. And so I guess for me, one of the things that I hope you'll listen for is with her own family, her two kids that went through. You know, Brennan, we talk a lot about this idea that how is greater than where,
right?
You know, and the fact that these conversations and this sort of, we talk a lot about it being an experience because it's very relational, but giving kids the opportunity to process things. You know, she talks about this trip to William and Mary and, you know, and the conversations that they had there, this event with her son, where he's just like kicking the soccer ball around and like listening and letting them process things, you know, and what that means to sort of bring positivity and well-being into the experience that these students are having. And sort of taking that big organizational development psychology that she has, you know, knowledge of and applying that, but also making it very real and practical for families. So I really loved this conversation, and I think people will as well.
Yeah. And I mean, she talks about kind of empowering young people as decision makers. And I loved that. And I'll tell you, I mean, talk about positivity and being beyond happy. I mean, what an amazing human being. I really enjoyed our conversation, and she, you know, she talked about how to combat catastrophizing, and I really love kind of her explanation of that, and also her her kind of impressions on like how to reframe this whole experience of applying to college and receiving decisions, and so. You know, it was a conversation that kind of ran the gamut, and really appreciated her perspective.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's the key word is perspective, right? I mean, that's another thing we talk a lot about with school groups and here on the podcast, for sure. This idea of like, talk to people who have been through it. I mean, talk to people who have learned and had both, you know, lessons learned and things they've done well and things they wish they had done differently. And, you know, talking to parents of current college students or college grads. And she has two college grads herself. She's taught hundreds of college students. And then, of course, here at Georgia Tech, she's constantly surrounded, you know, by college students. And so who better to get some perspective from than Dr. Beth Cabrera? Enjoy today's conversation.
Beth, can you tell us a bit about your personal admission journey? You know, where did you decide to go and why, and any broad takeaways or tips you might offer families based on that?
Yeah, sure. So I went to Rhodes College, which is a small liberal arts school in Memphis, Tennessee. I grew up in Alabama. about 3 hours away from there. So it's a kind of a funny story. I had an aunt who was 16 years older than I was, who I worshiped. So she was just old enough to, when I would stay at my grandparents' house, I would go into her room in her closet, and she still had like her go-go boots and her mini skirts and her 70s jewelry. And I just thought she was the coolest person in the world. And she went to Rhodes College, and she met her husband at Rhodes College. So I also would spend a lot of time looking through her yearbooks that were also at my grandparents' house. So from probably 6 or 7 years old, I formed a very clear idea of what college was, and it was Rhodes College. It was beautiful. It was where she had gone. And so really thought about that when I thought about college, you know, my whole childhood. So when it came time to apply to colleges, I applied early to Rhodes College. And this is back in the day when we did not apply to lots of schools. And so that's literally the only school I applied to. I visited Rhodes. I had visited Vanderbilt. So Vanderbilt was my backup. You know, if I had not gotten in early to Rhodes, I was going to apply to Vanderbilt. Fortunately, I got into Rhodes. I got a scholarship, and it was all perfect. But I will add, you know, it sounds like it was a very random kind of weird decision based on where my aunt had gone. But I was also very self-aware, and I had very clear criteria about what I wanted from college. And it just happened that Rhodes met all of those. So I knew I wanted a small school. Mm-hmm. I'm very social. I had this image of walking across campus and saying hi and knowing everybody's name. I wanted to know everybody. I wanted it to be like just this really close community of people, of friends. I also was, you know, nerdy and liked to study, and I wanted to know my professors. I wanted to be in small classes where we would have conversations, and it would be, you know, and I would see my professors and they would know who I was. You know, other people want a big school so they can get lost and never talk to a professor. I wanted the exact opposite. The campus is just beautiful. So Rhodes, mm-hmm. they have their own stone quarry. They tried to be like Oxford, you know, it's all these gorgeous stone buildings. And I remember visiting with my parents and walking through the campus. And I said, I want to be here, because if I ever have a bad day, if I do poorly on a test or I break up with my boyfriend, I was like, I just gonna need to walk around the campus and I will be okay. You know, I knew that that was going to be good for me. And the last one is I didn't want to go too far away from home. Mm-hmm. So I was very close to my family. I grew up in a, you know, small town in Alabama on the lake. And I just loved my home. I loved my family. And I wanted to be where I could get home, you know, if I needed to. So my father went to Davidson. My sister went to Davidson. My cousin went to Davidson. And that was like a 17-hour drive. Mm. Rhodes was a 3-hour drive. So I told my parents too, I was like, you know, I want to be able to get home on a weekend if I need to, or, you know, come home for something special. And they still laugh at me about this, because in 4 years, every single year I went home for Thanksgiving and I went home for Christmas. Yep. Twice a year. That was it. And they're like, yeah, yep. You wanted to be close so you could come home. So that's how well it worked out. I was so happy I, you know, didn't go home much. But, you know, so I did have very clear criteria, and Rhodes just happened to tick all of those boxes as well.
Yeah,
that's great. And one of the colleges that changed lives. And it sounds like it might have.
Yes. Yes. It was great. I just loved it.
That's cool. Well, you know, I mean, that's a great segue into my question, really, which has to do with the idea of relationships and understanding your own interests, and then being able to communicate that, especially with families and kind of both ways, for parents to be able to explain why they hope you might look at a certain school and not just tell you to look at a certain school. And then for students to do the sort of self-discovery, like you said, like, here is why I'm interested in this particular place or this type of place. Obviously with your research, thinking particularly, which we'll put this in the show notes, but your TED Talk at George Mason. So before, you know, you came to Georgia Tech, being at George Mason, you talked so much about this idea of having of choices and connections and relationships and the importance of all of that. And I know you have had two kids also who have gone through the college admission experience. And thinking about your work and your research, and then also your family experience, like, how would you sort of advise families, I think, as it relates to these concepts of healthy relationships, listening, talking, communicating, and going through this in a positive way?
Yeah, so I have two children who have gone through this, and it's very different as a parent going through this experience. I'll start by saying I found interesting is my kids were very clear about what they wanted as well. And they're very similar. They've always had the same interests. They wanted the same thing. And it was the opposite of what I had wanted. So they both wanted big schools. That was very clear to them. They never thought about Rhodes College. They laughed when I suggested that we tour there because there's no way they were going to go to a small liberal arts school. You know, Rhodes was a little over 1,000 students when I was there. Both of my kids went to schools that were over 20,000. So they were very clear that there would be more opportunities, that, you know, they liked the big sports and athletics and the vibe of a big campus was, so they wanted big. They also wanted big city. I will also add when Rhodes, another thing I had wanted very clearly was a bigger city. I was from a small town in Alabama. I didn't want big. I think Atlanta would have terrified me. I wasn't ready for that. Yeah. But Memphis was perfect because it was, for me, a big city. So my kids were born in Madrid, Spain. They've always lived in big cities. That was very clear to them. In fact, we lived in Virginia when they were going through the process. Mm-hmm. So we toured all the Virginia schools. They're great schools. We wanted them to see them. So when we went to William & Mary, as we were driving through Colonial Williamsburg to see the campus, they were like, we can turn around and go home now. And I'm like, this is a fabulous school. We're going to do the tour. We're here to do the tour. And they were just looking around. You know, they were not going to live in Colonial Williamsburg. Like, if that's the only school they got in, they would have deferred. You know, there's like, they wanted a big city. So that was very, very interesting and very clear to them. And they actually also were kind of very open to going as far away as possible, where I kind of wanted to stay close. They were both very independent, traveled our whole lives, lived all over the world, you know. And so they, you know, like UVA was a great option for them both, you know, and that's a fabulous school that they got into. And it was 2 hours away from home. And they were like, no way. Our son specifically said this would be like an extension of high school. Because a lot of his friends went to UVA and he did not think that was exciting enough. He wanted to go off on an adventure. So that's just kind of a comparison. And as a parent, it's hard sometimes because it's like, why wouldn't they want to go to Rhodes? I loved it. It was the best experience of my life, you know? So you've got to be, number one, understand that this has to be their decision. And I thought that with both of them. And I think it's kind of scary as a parent. I found it fascinating that the decision of where you're going to college, for me, I thought was the most significant life decision my kids had ever made that they needed to make alone, that it needed to be their decision. You know, up until that point, I think if they were really important decisions, I'm going to make it or I'm going to help them make it. I realized I can't make this decision for them. Number one, they want things that I didn't even want. Right. I mean, so that's kind of scary as a parent, but I think keeping that in mind is really important. This is their decision, you know, it needs to be their decision. So I think as far as your role as a parent, it's about support, you know, and just being there for them. Mm-hmm. And that support, you know, is certainly about the listening that you mentioned. And I think there were a lot of times I remember vividly one day we had lunch on our screened-in porch while Alex was going through the process, and he got up and started kicking around a soccer ball. And he was just thinking out loud, you know, and it went on forever. And Annette and I were sitting at the table like, I don't think we should leave. I think he needs this, you know, and we were just kind of listening as he went through, why would I want this? What should I do here? You know, so that was interesting. And the other one is guidance, you know, I mean, not telling them what you think they should do, but helping them through the thought process. And going back to the criteria thing, I think something my husband did that was extremely helpful is he did the spreadsheet. So we're kind of nerds. And he said, okay, kids, let's make a spreadsheet, you know, with each of them. And we put, you know, down the side, all the schools they were applying to or thought they wanted to apply to. And across the top, different criteria. He let them pick the criteria. We didn't even, you know, we gave suggestions, you know, or, you know, but they were like big or small, you know, the size of the city, the size of the school, the financial aid, the region of the country, the ranking, you know, whatever we could think of that they wanted to consider, he put across the top. Mm-hmm. And then he said, okay, we have 1, 2, 3. So for each one of these schools, let's go to the criteria. It's a 1 if it doesn't meet it at all. If it's a 3, if it's a great fit. And a 2, if right. you're not sure, it's in between. Really simplify, right? And then you get a number at the end for each school. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that really helped. And then a week or two later, he's like, well, let's add a different criteria. Or let's weight the criteria. Let's get really nerdy.
Yeah.
And so for the most important criteria. And so we'd have some of the criteria would be, you know, more strongly weighted. So, you know, it was about guiding them through that process, that thought process. And I do think it helped relieve a lot of stress because, you know, agency is so important, having a sense of control. Mm-hmm. And so this kind of gave you something to do and felt like you were actively in control of the process kind of, you know. And so I think that was also helpful.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we have a similar exercise in our book that kind of walks people through kind of that process of creating your own rankings in a lot of ways and weighting them how you how they're important to you. And, you know, you talk about the thought process involved, and we do this kind of hopes and fears exercise when we do presentations with communities for parents and students and have them kind of share anonymously what some of their hopes and fears are. And it like you said, I mean, it surfaces a lot of insecurities and anxieties. And as you think of kind of thought process, you've talked a lot about kind of positive thinking. How can students approach this experience? How can parents approach this experience with that kind of positive thinking attitude?
Well, I think your hopes and fears might, I don't know exactly what, but there is something that I kind of feel like can help when you're kind of, I think we have a tendency to think worst case scenario, you know, and oh my God, I'm not going to get into a single school and then it's going to be awful. And that's kind of what we dwell on. And there's cognitive behavioral therapy has an exercise when you're catastrophizing. And that's what we go to a lot in our minds is catastrophizing is when you're kind of dwelling on this worst case scenario. And the exercise actually is for decatastrophizing. So the first thing you do is think of the worst case scenario and just, you know, that's what you're already thinking. So let's say, okay, let's think about what's the worst case scenario. I don't get into a single college, you know, or I get my very bottom choice. And then let's think, what's the best case scenario? So the best case scenario is I get into my every single one I apply to, my very top, you know, reach school, everything. And then what is most likely, you know, and realistically, let's think it's probably you're not going to get into Stanford. Nobody gets into Stanford, right? You know, that might be your top, but you're probably not going to get in. And you will get into some schools. You know, it's very unlikely that you won't get into a single school. So let's think about that most likely case scenario. And let's spend our time there and not on the worst case scenario. Sometimes it can help to actually make a plan for the worst case scenario though. And so if that kind of eases, you know, it's, you're not going to die, right? If you don't get into any school at all. Mm-hmm. Well, let's think, maybe you'll have to take a gap year and you'll have to do something really fantastic so that you'll have something cool to write about in your essays next year. So is that awful? Yeah, maybe not, you know? Maybe you'll have to get a job and work for a year. So you're going to make money for the first time and you can kind of be more independent. You're going to mature. That will also give you things to write about in your essay. I mean, and then, you know, think how much more you're going to like college after you've had to work for a year, right? I mean, so just kind of going through that, I think, can be a helpful exercise. I think positive reframing is always very helpful. So even when you're, you know, going through and you get a rejection from, you know, some of your top places, think about, okay, well, what could be the benefit of not going there? There might be some good things about not going to Stanford or to the hardest school that you applied to. I mean, you might actually have more opportunities to shine in a less great school. So you might have more leadership opportunities if you're not competing with so many, you know, valedictorians from all these schools who also want all those leadership opportunities. Maybe you'll get better grades and not have to study as hard and have more fun. And, you know, I'm convinced that, I mean, Rhodes was a good school. It wasn't a really hard school. Like my sister went to Davidson and I think she worked a lot harder than I did. I had fun and got good grades, but I'm convinced that I probably would not have gone on to get a PhD if I had gone to a harder school, maybe even Davidson. If I had gone to a school where I did not get such good grades without tons of effort, I think at the end I was like, wow, I must be smarter than I thought. Maybe I should get a PhD. And I decided maybe I could be a college professor. But I think a big piece of it was because I did so well in school. And I truly question whether I would have even taken that route to get a PhD if I had not done so well in college. Yeah. Or had had to work so much harder. My cousin went to Davidson as well, and she ended up doing research with the professor because it's a small school. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot easier to have those opportunities to work with a professor doing research if you're not competing with a lot of students, or if you're not at a much harder school where they're better students. And so, you know, I think that she went on to get a PhD at Emory, and I think she was able to do that because she had great references from this professor who she had done research with, that maybe at a harder school, maybe at a bigger school, she wouldn't have had those opportunities. So yeah. I think it's helpful to always be positively reframing and looking at the benefits of whatever the situation is.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember now if it was in, like, I think it was Malcolm Gladwell in David and Goliath, maybe, where he had an illustration that's very similar to what you're referring to about a student that went to Brown who could have gone to University of Maryland. And it's a very similar kind of parallel that you're drawing.
Yes. And that we had read that, and we were familiar with that, I think, even when our kids were going through the process. And I think it's helpful. I think it's helpful to, there are benefits of every single school there. Yeah. And then you just got to make sure you're looking at, you know, what would be the benefit of each one. It's not that the one you want is the only one that has great things.
Yeah. One thing that I really appreciate about your work and the research you've done is obviously you take the macro kind of academic, you know, body of work that's out there, and then you make it extremely practical. So in what I've heard you present and what I've read, but then also just knowing the companies that you've consulted with and the organizations, it's this idea of here's all the theory and here's all the body of work. Now, let me tell you how to really apply this. And we try to do that also with families in trying to help them, like, stay grounded and think about, like, what are some practical things we can do to stay on the same page, to not let this, what can be emotional, obviously expensive, you know, a big sort of rite of passage, but also chapter change in a family's life, go spiraling out of control, which it easily can. It's like selling a house sometimes, where everything you're thinking about, everything you're talking about is like the house and the housing market and everything around you, much of which you can't control. And so one of the very practical tips that we give people is, like, try to think about a time during the week where you can just isolate this conversation and talk about it, so that it's not 10 p.m. when you just got done with tennis practice, or you're just trying to study and mom's like, hey, you know, take a look at this Notre Dame brochure. And I wonder, you know, when you think about maybe your own kids or just families in general, like, what would be some things that come to mind for you that you would say, here's like a practical way to stay connected, to stay grounded, and to facilitate what we all want, which is long-term bonds and connections with our kids, not just a result, which we can get very focused on in the college admission experience.
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, going back to playing that supportive role, I think the more you can do that, and you don't run at them with the brochure, but anytime they're ready to talk, I think being there and being open and really trying to not talk yourself and listen, mm-hmm. always being kind of in that supportive role is very, very important. I think anything you can do to kind of relieve stress, and those, you know, there are a lot of things that we can do to relieve stress. I think just encouraging people to be outside. So even doing things as a family outdoors is a great stress reliever, and not talking about that. So even if it's going for a family walk after dinner or planning a hike on the weekends with the family. I think finding quality time as a family that's not focused on that process. And if you can do that out of doors, that's like a big bonus as far as stress release. So just encouraging that and trying to organize that as a family would be helpful. I think, you know, the biggest source of stress, and Rick knows I talk about this all the time, are our telephones, our smartphones, and being constantly connected and just being aware that, you know, and that's a serious problem for us and it's a serious problem for our kids and it's causing the levels of anxiety and depression that we've never seen before. You're not going to get your teenager to give up the phone, but you can encourage times of disconnecting. Mm-hmm. And I think any time during the day that you can get your child to disconnect, even if it's 5 minutes here, 20 minutes here, you're helping them with their stress levels. And so it can be phone-free dinners. It can be when you take a walk outside after dinner, let's leave our phones at home and let's just think about something completely different. You're not taking a phone to bed with you. I mean, just, you know, any, you know, you're not, you can't tell your kid in the middle of all of this, okay, you're not allowed to be on your phone, but you can encourage moments and find creative ways of helping them. And they appreciate it. They feel better when they've disconnected. So I think so doing that can be helpful.
And we can model that as well.
Exactly.
we're just as guilty.
We can model it and benefit from that. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, as we wrap up, you've had, as you said, you've had two children go through the college admission experience and you spend lots of time with college age students. What kind of closing final tips or hopes do you have for students as they kind of enter into this college admission journey?
I think the overwhelmingly biggest piece of advice that I would give and just ask people to remember and to keep in mind during the whole process is that your future success depends so much more on what you do while you are in college than it does on where you go to college. And I feel like people don't understand that. And it's just so clear. I mean, there are so many successful people who have not gone to an Ivy League college. And it really does. What you do in college is so much more important. It's important to study and get good grades. It's important to engage. And we know that students in college, the more engaged they are, the more successful they are, you know? And so that's a piece of advice to give your student, your child is, you know, join as many clubs as you can, be involved in organizations, look for leadership roles. Don't tell them you can't do that because you need to spend time studying. It turns out that the more engaged and involved students are, the better the grades are because they are enjoying themselves and they're just overall more successful. So really, really don't think that if you don't get into these top schools, that that's going to impact your future. It's not. Okay. And the other thing I will say that I think is really important is that there is not one single best choice. You think in this process that you need to help them make the best choice or that they don't sleep at night because there's one best decision. And you, number one, you'll never know because you'll go to one school. You'll never go to those other schools. You'll never know if you would have had a better time, if you would have met cooler people, if you would have been more, you can't even know if there were to have been a best choice. So stop stressing over making the best choice. And the way to look at it, and this kind of goes back to it's what you do when you're in college, is don't worry about making the best decision. Make the decision you make the best, okay? Make the decision best. And you do that by doing well in school. Mm-hmm. So there's not one best decision. So stop worrying about making the best decision. Just make the decision the best, you know? I mean, by doing what you do when you get to school. So, you know, it's just, it shouldn't be as stressful as it is. And it pains me to see so many families and so many students so stressed about something that it doesn't matter nearly as much as they think it
does. Right. Yeah, and should be a time of opportunity, not stress.
It should be an exciting time, you know, exactly. To think about all these opportunities and options and where you might be going. I mean, it should be such an exciting time in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, and I guess this is that's a good opportunity to also plug another book, which is called Where You Go Is Not Who You'll Be by Frank Bruni, where he does some of these exact type of case studies. And we've been pulling some data recently on, just as an example, Harvard's first year law school. Where did the students come from? And the wide variety of schools like you described. But you know, so much of it, I think, ultimately, we talk a lot about this idea of control. It's like, you know, if you were to tell a family or ask a family, like, how much control do you think you have in the college admission experience? They would say a very low number. But the truth is that, you know, you ultimately you get to decide where you apply. And if you apply to, you know, let's say 10 schools and it's a good list, like you said, that's got a mix of schools where you'd be happy at any of them. Like you probably won't get into all of them, but you'll have a choice between several, right? And that is control. And then I think the big thing that you hit on and what you talked about with your experience at Rhodes is you sort of knew why you picked it and it made a lot of sense to you. And when you, I feel like then when you show up there, you're in control of how you take advantage of those opportunities. And if you look at that whole piece of the pie, that means that it's a very high percentage, actually, that you are in control. And I think that that brings us power. It brings us positivity. And ultimately, it helps you maximize wherever you go.
Yeah, I think a great source of unhappiness is spending a lot of time, effort, and worry on things that you don't control. Mm-hmm. When in reality, there are so many things that you have control over. And if you spend your time, energy, effort, worries over the things that you can control, then that sense of agency is just very important. And I will say one thing, thinking back on our kids, it might have been the day that Alex was kicking the soccer ball around. And at some point he looked up and he said, "I'm going to go to college. And it's going to be a blast." And I mean, he came to that on his own. Like, you know, he was thinking of this and this. And he was like, "It doesn't matter. I'm going to be in college." Right. And he was so ready. And he was like, "And I can't wait." And I think that was just very helpful to say, yeah, it's going to be great wherever you go.
Yeah.
Right. And I love that because, I mean, sometimes, like you said, and the psychologist Lisa Damore has said this a bunch too, like sometimes we just need to sit back and let them kick that soccer ball, right? And just talk. And I think that's really important, just to be there and to listen and to be there as they process.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Dr. Cabrera, we really value you, appreciate you, and thank you so much for your time and wisdom and insight. I'm glad that you're here at Georgia Tech. You make this place better, and we appreciate everything you're pouring in, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you for that. Thanks. This was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We hope that you enjoyed that conversation with Dr. Beth Cabrera. And I do want to encourage you to check the show notes for her website. She has a variety of consistent articles that she publishes, more on her research, her TED Talk, and other pieces that we think will provide you a lot of opportunity. A big part of her work surrounds positivity. And this idea that how we show up and how we present ourselves has concentric circles and influence on the people around us. And I think as whether we're parents that are trying to coach and give perspective to our kids during the college admission experience, whether as a student or a counselor in this process, all of that sort of ties together to help everyone around us, not only ourselves. So we really appreciate Dr. Cabrera's insight today. I also wanted to particularly thank our season 2 partner, Grown and Flown, who I've known and worked with for years, a great resource for parents of high school students. Their website's full of expert content on college admission and really all aspects of raising teens. They have an affordable college membership, college admission grown and flown for families, which allows you to ask and have questions answered. We've put a link in the show notes there for 3 free weeks. So we want to recommend that as a great place to also go and not only hear weekly content that's live, but also archive content from some of the experts they've interviewed over the years. Again, thanks so much for listening. We look forward to being back soon with another episode.